Thank you so much, praise team. Children, you may, Brady, you thought I was going to say you can be dismissed. If you're new here, our children can now be dismissed, either through the front or Miss Ruth will be in the back, and our grade school kids will go downstairs to class. And it's a joy to have the kids in worship with us today and during worship. And now they will go down to class. I wanted to take just a moment. If you're worshiping with us online, please text the word here to 540-307-2512 just so that we can know that you're worshiping with us today. And also, before we get started, many of you know Grant Long, brother in Christ, and just wanted to raise concern for Grant this morning and have you be praying for him. We found out that he took a serious turn, or he took a turn for the worse at about 6:30 this morning. He's now on full or max oxygen. They're giving him another bag of plasma, and hoping that it will make a turn. If that does not create a turn, he's got severe pneumonia with COVID. And if that plasma does not make a turn, he's also on a five-day stint of a drug, Remesfid or something. Yes, that's right. On that drug, and if he does not make a turn, then they're going to have to put him on a BiPAP. So I just wanted to raise that. I'm going to pray here in a moment for him, but he certainly is struggling at the moment and could use our... So we are certainly living in a crazy time. And I guess I should take a moment with so many guests. My name is Heath Coons. I'm an elder here at Hope Valley Church, certainly thrilled to be able to preach this morning. We are living in a crazy time. We were just talking about someone with COVID-19 and, you know, and all that's been going on this year. Sometimes you just look at 2020 and say, wow, it seems like every time you turn around, one negative thing after another is confronting us. But we have learned a lot of new terminology this year. Maybe we didn't know that terminology before, and we've learned a lot of new words. I don't know if that's a positive or not, but we learned COVID. That many of us didn't know COVID before, so we learned COVID. We learned socially distanced. That wasn't in our vocabulary before. Murder hornets. You don't want to forget murder hornets. And then flying snakes from right over here at Virginia Tech. We found out about flying snakes. What a list of new terminology. So yeah, I would guess that probably the consensus is that that's probably not a positive set of words for 2020. Another word that has risen to prominence and continued to rise is fake news. Now, this the Google search trend for fake news... let me see if I can get a little bit more here for the guys in the back. The Google search trend for fake news didn't start this year. It actually started a couple years ago, but certainly you can see from the trend line there, it's continuing to rise and taking off. It certainly didn't appear in 2020 like murder hornets. But fake news is a word that is continuing to gain popularity. It's a term that is used to describe a non-reputable news site, maybe, and how they're spreading false information. It can be a synonym for misinformation or a hoax or propaganda. Sometimes it's good to have a label like fake news. In fact, my daughter Leah just yesterday pointed out that they should use fake news label on all the ad and marketing propaganda that's out there. For instance, every Burger King advertisement for the Impossible Whopper should have a fake news label on it, because we all know that you can't make a hamburger without beef, right? So we ought to have fake news labels on Impossible Whoppers. That's a pretty good point. Actually, the majority of the term's usage over the last few years has been based around politically related news. Right? A couple years ago, you started seeing websites pop up that promised to rate the information as truth or fake, as fact or fiction. Some of the search engines over the last few years and now onto social platforms like Twitter and Facebook have now started flagging, hey, this is fake news. Or worse, they're even now filtering out what might be deemed fake news. Unfortunately, we do not have an absolute arbiter of truth in the political spectrum, right? And so all sides have been known to contribute fake news, and now we have organizations that are out there that are filtering what are at times valid and truthful articles. Some of you have probably been put into Facebook jail for sharing questionable documents, or at least what Facebook thinks are questionable documents. Fake news. I would be remiss if I didn't take just a moment and encourage you as Christians to research what you are sharing on social media platforms. Don't contribute to the fake news agenda or to what is known as fake news. I know it's tempting to hit retweet or to hit share when you see somebody that's supporting your particular platform or your particular party. It's tempting to do that. But do some research and make sure that the information is valid. In fact, I know that some of you are probably out there sharing Babylon Bee articles and thinking they're true when they're actually satire. I know. I've almost done it myself. Unfortunately, fake news is not limited to politics or social media. It can be found in the church as well. Today, we're going to spend some time talking about John's warning to the church about fake news and false prophets. You can see my title there, Fake News, False Prophets, Discerning the Spirits. Let's read the passage. 1 John 4, verses 1 to 6. You get out your copy of the God's Word. And would you stand to read it, whether that's in print or on your smartphone or tablet? Stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. I'll be reading out of the ESV. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Thank you. You may be seated. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be with us now during the breaking of your word. Father, I pray for focus and clearing of my mind. Father, I pray that I be able to speak the words that you have ordained. Father, help not a single word to come out of my lips that is not edifying to the body and is not factual in nature. Lord, I pray that as I've struggled at times this week with spiritual battle, as I prepared this particular topic, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified here today in what is said. Lord, I pray for Grant Long this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would touch his body right now, help him to help the medicines to do what they're supposed to, help the plasma to have its effect. I pray that he be able to turn that corner, and I pray for the wisdom for the doctors and those tending to him as well. In Jesus' name, amen. My kids always seem to fight for control of the car stereo when they get in. Usually, if I've been in their past, it's probably setting on talk radio or news of some kind. And for some reason, they don't like that too much. And so there's always this battle for the radio. But a couple years ago, I was on the way home from work, and I was listening to local news, But then I heard one article and started paying attention. And that was that just a couple years ago, police in Pulaski County had started seeing counterfeit bills. They'd started seeing fake money showing up in Pulaski County. They were good fakes. It was hard to spot the difference. The FBI had been called in, and they were trying to determine how extensive a problem we had in the community. Actually, this picture that's on the screen now is from yesterday. I was preparing this message, and I was online on Google looking for a certain image, and I happened on Facebook, and lo and behold, there's an article from yesterday for Floyd County. The Floyd County Sheriff had posted this picture of a $20 bill because fake $20 bills have been showing up in Floyd County. And this one seems to be a little bit easier to detect. There's yellow Chinese writing over the Federal Reserve logo. I guess if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't pay attention to it really clearly, you may get past you. So, now, be honest. Before I heard the news bulletin, I wasn't too worried about the cash that I had in my pocket. I wasn't thinking about checking the validity of the bills that I had got in exchange for something. Before seeing the Facebook post yesterday, I wasn't worried about any financial transactions that I had. Got to use that. Is it breaking up? All right, we'll use this now. So I hadn't worried about the validity of the money that we had in transactions. In fact, my family was just in Floyd County yesterday. We had went and visited Mabry Mill, and coming back through, we had stopped at a couple different businesses in Floyd County. And at the time, I wasn't worried about the cash that might have been transacted. However, after that news bulletin, after I saw that on Facebook yesterday, I was alerted and on the lookout. A couple years ago, I remember going home and looking through the cash in my wallet. That didn't take long, but I looked through the cash in my wallet. When I would go to pay for something, I would look and see, is this valid or not? I would tell friends and family, hey, did you hear about that? Did you hear about the fake bills in Pulaski County? Did you hear about that? Because I didn't want them to be duped as well. In the same way, John is giving a wake-up call here in the first few verses of chapter 4. He's saying, watch out, be careful, pay attention to this, examine what you're being told, do not be deceived. He's issuing a call to action. Let's reread that first verse. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world. As you know, we're preaching through the book of 1 John. So just a couple weeks ago, we touched on the end of chapter 3. And in verse 24, John has just mentioned a spirit, has just described a spirit. In verse 24, in verse 3, chapter 3 says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The Spirit, the Greek word there is pneuma or pneumatos, and whom God has given us. The Spirit has been given to us as assurance that God abides in us and we in him. However, John is now pointing out that that's not the only Spirit, that there are other spirits that are not holy, that do not assure us, that do not teach us truth, but instead are unholy liars and deceivers. It's these spirits that he's trying to warn us about, and we ultimately know that these spirits are from Satan, the evil one. John MacArthur said it this way, Scripture presents stern warnings against fake doctrine. From his temptation of Eve on, Satan has sought to distort and deny God's word. He is the ultimate demonic source behind all false teachers and false doctrine. So Satan is the evil source and the one behind these deceiving spirits. We are always to believe the Holy Spirit, the one sent to assure us from verse 24 of chapter 3. But we should never believe the unholy spirit. At the end of verse 1, it goes on to say, "For many false prophets have gone out into the world." So how does an unholy spirit manifest itself? Unholy spirit manifests through the false teaching of unholy men, of false prophets. And John is saying here that there are many already out. Folks, just because a prophet or a teacher uses the language of the Bible, uses God and Jesus, does not mean that he's a true child of God. A true prophet in the sense of one who speaks forth God's word. In fact, many profess to believe in Christ, but they believe in another Jesus and another gospel. This is not the first time we've heard this. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, and he says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere, pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." He also told the church of Galatia in Galatians 1:8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached you, let him be accursed." The warning is there. There are evil spirits. There are false spirits. There are anti-Christ spirits. The anti-Christ there meaning against Christ. There are spirits out for a deceitful manner, and they're out to deceive. Why would John be issuing this warning? Anytime we encounter a description like this or the idea of false prophets, we probably ought to try to remember and look back at what was the early church like at that time. What was John speaking to at that time? So the early church then would be relatively small house gatherings of Christians, probably meeting in individual homes. The New Testament hadn't been clearly defined yet. Church structure is still in flux. It's still being defined. Much of what would later become Orthodox doctrine is still being defined and worked through at this point. Itinerant preachers were common. Individuals would travel from city to city, and while there, stay for a while, be supported by the church, then move on to another town and continue teaching and preaching. It's against this backdrop that John is talking about false prophets. So false prophets in this nature are not obvious, blatantly obvious individuals who are out to derail the church. But instead, they are other itinerant preachers whose teaching may have sounded an awful lot like the gospel that we know, the good news of Jesus Christ, but was errant in some way. When the Apostle John wrote this letter, his letters, it was about AD, 85, AD, 90, best I could tell. And so the Christian faith was about 50 to 60 years old at this point. His admonition here in chapter 4 is not just intellectual banter. It's not just some intellectual position paper, but it's important and a necessary guideline for the church in separating wheat from chaff. John is primarily concerned at a particular type of false prophet, one that was rising its head during that time. Most likely a form of it was about a false prophet who believed that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. It's most likely a form of docetism, a form of Gnosticism that was prevalent there in the end of the first century and into the second century. Docetism meant appearance, came from the Greek word that meant appearance. And it taught that Jesus did not actually physically suffer and die, but rather only appeared to do so. Jesus, in this case, was not actually fully human, but rather pretended to be. John is saying, watch out, beware. There are false prophets coming who are saying that Jesus was not fully God or fully man. Watch out, beware. There are false prophets already here who are trying to deceive you. And just like we saw Paul, John is not the only one who was warning the church of this danger. Jesus warned his disciples and those gathered at the mount when he said in Matthew 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit." Peter had written his letters about 30 years earlier in AD 65, and he said in 2 Peter 2, said, "False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." That term there, where it talks about secretly bring, comes from the Greek word parasiego. Talk to him, and he'll, Kevin will give you the real translation. But it meant from the side, para, from the side. And esiego, to bring in and introduce. It brings the idea of secretly coming in from the side, craftily, trying to bring in under false pretenses. Think of it like spies or traitors trying to sneak into an enemy's camp. Jesus, Peter, and John now are saying, these false prophets, these spirits of the Antichrist, are not going to be blatantly obvious. They're coming in from the side to quietly deceive. A couple weeks ago, Logan and Brady, Logan's my oldest, Brady's my other boy in the near the middle there. They've been playing a new game the last couple weeks. And as I'm prone to do, for good parental reasons, I needed to research this game and find out whether it was good or not. So for strictly research and good parenting purposes, I downloaded this game called Among Us. It was originally released in 2018, but during COVID has just exploded in popularity. And in the month of September, they had 3.5 million concurrent users online playing this game. How many of you have heard of Among Us? Okay, for those of you who have not played an online game, think of the game Clue, the board game Clue. All right, it's a murder mystery game. You're trying to figure out who the suspect is. In this game, Among Us, it's cast sort of on a ship, a spaceship. There are up to 10 players, crewmates that are all running around trying to do different tasks. There's one imposter. During this game, the imposter can't do the tasks. He can fake like he's doing the tasks. He can run around with the crewmates. He can run up to where the little task, it's usually a little puzzle or something, he can run up and stand there for a period of time and then run away. The crewmate's job is to finish all the tasks and then they win and the imposter's kicked out, or to figure out who the suspect is, figure out who the imposter is, and vote them off the ship. You can't talk. The only time you can talk is if a body is found or if somebody hits the emergency button. And then everybody, including the imposter, get around a little table and talk, and you tell what you've seen. I saw red. Red was following me. Red is suspect. I saw black do this. Green was faking a task. And so you talk. Why do I bring that up? Because, and you may not believe this, but when everybody gets together, the imposter doesn't tell the whole truth. She may run around and act like she's doing tasks. She may be seen doing the right thing. She may try to help by watching somebody else do their task. She may join in on the conversation and talk the talk. She may tell part of the truth. Sometimes she may tell the whole truth for a period of time. But ultimately, she will be spreading fake news. She will claim that she did something when she didn't. She will claim she saw somebody else do something wrong. She will create confusion and try to lead people astray. You see, the way that imposter acts in this game Among Us is the way a false prophet will act in the church. They will act like they're doing the right things. They will talk the talk. They will look like they're doing the right things. They will tell partial truths, But at the end, the spirit of the Antichrist will cause them to create confusion and lead people away. To address this problem and address this deception, John submits a two-part test. Part one is the test of the teacher, what I'm calling the test of the teacher. Let's read verse 2 and 3 again. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. John says the Spirit of God and the prophets through which the Spirit is exhibited will be known because they confess Jesus. Confess here could simply mean to assert or to claim. But in the Greek, the word for confess is the present tense, which means it's an ongoing confession, which means it's not just a one-time thing. The Bible says that even the demons acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. But that doesn't mean that they acknowledge him and they profess him as Lord. What John is getting to here is that the Spirit of God, those true prophets, will claim and confess Jesus Christ and confess the true gospel. This test was not just valuable for first century Christians dealing with first century false prophets. Today, 2,000 years later, we can and should utilize this same test in validating the teachers we see. We live in a time where Facebook tells us that whatever makes us feel good is truth, and yet the Bible stands in stark opposition to that. We should be like the Bereans in Acts 17 who said, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." They took action to see what this prophet told us, what this teacher told us. Does that match the word of the Lord? Does that match God's word? Does that match the source of truth? Some false spirits are probably quite obvious to us. You can point to Joseph Smith and the Mormons. Does not believe the Trinity, does not believe that Jesus is equal to God, believes that any human is capable of being on the same level of God. Those might be easy to identify. However, there are going to be others and many cases where it's much more difficult to discern because the errors will be mixed quietly with truth. I remember my dad was pastor of a church in Callahan, Virginia, and had invited a special speaker to come in for, it was based on recommendation from pastors in a neighboring county, and this couple had come in for 4 days, supposed to be 4 days, I think, of speaking. And from the beginning, things just didn't seem right. From the beginning, there was no discussion of the gospel and of Christ crucified. It was of how well I'm doing and how I'm reusing the gifts that you've given us, and I'm being a good steward of the money that you have given us. Ultimately, about 2 days in, Dad asked that couple to leave because it was evidence that they were not true prophets. It was evidence that he was not a true prophet, that he was not speaking from a spirit of truth, but rather one from a spirit of deception. We need to examine and see, does what they're saying line up with reality? I hope that I don't get folks upset here. But here are a couple others that I might offer. Don't take my word for it in these cases. This command to study the scriptures and the command to examine isn't just for the elders at Hope Valley Church. It's for all of us to diligently see, is this truth? Is this correct? Does this match what is in God's word? We should make it a habit of examining every prophet and every spirit. Joel Osteen is the pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, a mega church that meets in the former Compact Center. The church can hold over 50,000 people. When you review his ministry's website, it seems sound enough. There are parts of it that could be found on Hope Valley Church's website. But if you look closely enough, you're going to find parts that aren't in sync. You're going to find parts that show evidence of believing in a different Jesus and a different gospel. Osteen sounds more like an inspirational life coach instead of a proclaimer of the gospel. He often teaches about how people can improve their lives, experience happiness, and become financially wealthy, but you won't see any mention of sin or repentance in Osteen's optimistic message. Watch this.
I want to talk to you today about miracles in your mouth. Our words have creative power. When we speak something out, we're giving it the right to come to pass. And it's one thing to believe that you're healed, but when you say, "I am healed," that's what releases the healing. And it's not enough to just believe you're blessed, believe you have favor. The scripture says the spirit of faith is in our words. When you say, "I am blessed, I have favor, I'm coming out of debt," angels go to work. Good breaks will find you. The right people will track you down. And you can think positive. You can believe for favor. That's good, but nothing happens.
Nothing happens until you speak it into existence. Joel's message there is that he's essentially imparting God's miraculous power to humans. That's not the gospel I know. That's not the gospel that John was protecting in the first century. From his messaging, it seems that salvation is more a matter of divine rescue, is not a matter of divine rescue from judgment that's coming to the world, but instead simply a matter of self-improvement so that you can have your best life now. Osteen teaches the atonement of Christ provides us with healing and abundant life, but he fails to emphasize the importance of receiving forgiveness from a holy God. Joel Osteen's website may talk a good talk, but the truth appears different. Martin Luther says, "Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God, your functional Savior." That's not the Jesus I know. That's not the God I know. That's not the gospel I know, nor was it the gospel that John was protecting. This next one might be a touchy one. Many of you know that many of the popular songs played on the radio today are published by Bethel Music. They're certainly some of the most popular that are out there, popular praise and worship songs right now. We have sung some of them at Hope Valley Church. I will tell you this, that they first have to pass a doctrinal test. Those songs have to stand alone and be doctrinally clear and consistent. Why are we cautious? Because Bethel Music is a ministry of Bethel Church, led by Bill Johnson. They too, like Osteen, teach a prosperity gospel in which you can speak specific material blessings into your life simply by praying it and claiming it. The Bible doesn't promise that. They also teach a false understanding of God's sovereignty. Bill Johnson said, God is in charge, but he is not in control. He left us into control. That's not the God that I know. Perhaps his most troubling view is that Jesus is not necessarily fully God during his time on earth. In his book, When Heaven Invades Earth, Bill Johnson explained, "Jesus performed miracles, wonders, and signs as a man in right relationship with God, not as God. If he performed miracles because he was God, then they would be unattainable for us. But he did them as a man, and I'm responsible to pursue his lifestyle. In other words, if I pursue God's lifestyle, I too can create miracles. I too can speak miracles into existence." That's not the Jesus I know. That's not the God I know, or the gospel. And it's not the gospel that John was protecting in first century church. God is not a God of confusion. He's the God of truth. The beauty of Scripture is that with over 2,500 prophecies contained in the Word, over 2,000 of them have already been fulfilled to the letter. No errors, no mistakes. The Spirit of truth will not lead teachers to proclaim things that are false and unsubstantiated. Unfortunately, throughout the years, that we have seen numerous examples of false prophets who try to predict things that do not come true when they said they do, or will try to claim a power that is not proven. Watch this. Kenneth Copeland is one such teacher. Watch this from back in April.
When?
When?
Almighty!
Almighty!
Strong!
Strong!
South wind!
South wind!
Heat!
Heat!
Burn this thing!
Burn this thing!
In the name of Jesus!
In the name of
Satan,
Jesus!
Satan, you bow your knee!
Satan, you bow your knee!
You fall on your face!
You fall on your face!
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
I blow the wind of God.
The wind of God.
On you.
On you.
You are destroyed forever.
You are destroyed forever.
And you'll never be back.
Well, so good news. We don't have to worry about COVID-19 anymore. Oh, wait. God is not a God of confusion. A Spirit of truth-led prophecy would have come to pass. Kenneth Copeland's view of God is not the God I know. It's not the gospel I know. It's not the gospel that John was protecting in 1 John. So how do we apply this truth? I will say this. The more familiar you are with the Bible, the easier you will be able to discern error. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." The Scottish pastor Eric Alexander said, "The only way I know to cultivate a spirit of discernment and true wisdom is being able to tell the difference between truth and being able to tell the difference between truth and error is a concentrated commitment to the study of Scripture." He's right. If we are to begin discerning between truth and false spirits, we must ground ourselves in the Bible, because it's the source of all truth, the supreme authority in all spiritual matters, because it is the Word of God. The test of the speaker, the test of the teacher. The second part of the test is the test of the audience. Basically, this says that the character of the teacher or prophet is revealed by the kind of followers he draws. Read verse, starting in verse 5 and 6. "They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." John is saying that if someone listens to him, if someone hears and heeds the word of God, then he knows God. By the same token, if someone would not listen to John, if someone would not listen to, refuse to hear and heed the word of God, then they are not from God. 1 John 4, verse 5 may imply that these false teachers were drawing a big crowd. It talks about the whole world was listening to them. When you tell the world what it wants to hear, you won't lack an audience. When a false teacher sets aside unpopular notions that all sin and he tells people that they are wonderful and that God exists to help them fulfill their desires, he will gain a following. The problem is that message is not from God. It's from the world and the God of this world. Now, I'm certainly not implying that large ministries are all from the world. There are plenty of large ministries that are solid biblically. The practical application, though, is for us, don't judge the success of a ministry by the size. Judge it by its faithfulness to the truth of the gospel as revealed in the Bible. One might view these tests as difficult or maybe impossible. Perhaps you think you don't know the Scriptures well enough, or you're concerned that you're a relatively new believer. In verse 4, John has an encouragement that true believers can prevail and will prevail with the help of Christ. Verse 4 is the promise to prevail. Little children who are from God, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. John starts off here describing as little children. As children, we come to the God, as we come to Christ and accept what he says. The reason, though, that they have overcome is not because they have power. They're little children. The reason they have overcome is because they've received help from the Holy Spirit. The Greek word here used for overcome means to conquer, to be victorious, or to prevail in the face of obstacles. And John uses the perfect tense again here for this word, which paints a picture of permanence, that we are permanently, can have permanent victory over the Antichrist spirit. When Jesus died on Calvary and rose from the dead 3 days later, he achieved and assured effective eternal victory over the evil one. So we don't have to fret about not having the power to do it ourselves. We don't have to fret about not being able to do it on our own. We can simply turn to him. We can seek the help of the Holy Spirit. And we can, as the Bereans did, search the scriptures to rightfully discern truth from error. This book has the answers. And if what you're being taught doesn't agree with this book, there's a possibility that you don't understand this book well enough. And so you need to search it out and understand and deepen your knowledge. But that requires a commitment to understand and to search. There's also a possibility that what you're being told doesn't agree with this book because it doesn't agree. And in that case, it's being driven by a spirit of Antichrist and you need to get away. Both of those cases require us to go to the Word and to examine what we're being taught. To go to the Word and compare, is this accurate? Is this truth? Is this life-affirming gospel? Fake news, false prophets, they were alive in first century AD, and John was warning about them. And folks, they're alive and real today. Often we don't want to say something negative. We don't want to cause a big stir. John would say, Jesus said, Peter said, wake up, watch out, be careful, examine what you're being taught, do not be deceived. As praise team come, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray today that you would help us to be diligent in seeking truth. Father, that you would help us to be diligent in applying these tests to what we are taught. Father, in applying these tests to the teachers and the prophets that you've put in our lives, to apply these tests to the very real spiritual battle that is waging in this world. Help us not to be complacent and be willing to come and sit and listen to a message and say, well, that's what my pastor said, so that's got to be true. Yes, you are to seek the information. Yes, we are to seek information from mature Christians. But let's follow that up with our own diligence. So I don't know where you are tonight, today. Maybe you're a mature Christian who hasn't been searching the Word enough. Maybe you've been willing to accept what is said at face value and not apply these tests. Today would be a time to come back to Christ and say, forgive me. Help me to give searching your word the priority that it deserves. Maybe you're a new Christian and you don't know where to start. It's a simple step. And there are people here at Hope Valley that will help you, get you pointed in the right direction. But it starts with a willingness to read the Word and a willingness to seek truth. Maybe you haven't yet, accepted the gift of salvation. And you don't know this Jesus. You don't know who this Jesus is because you don't have a personal relationship with them. Because you've never taken that step. I'd love to talk with you. Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jared would be up here and be willing to talk with you. Seek us out before you leave. We would love to have that conversation about how you too might know Jesus as Savior. And not just confess something intellectually, but confess it because you believe it and you view Him as Lord. So as the praise team sings invitation, would you consider where you are, which position you are in, and how you are dealing with the fake news and false prophets you're confronted with?